Joining us right now, former FBI Director James Comey is the author of A Higher Loyalty, which is just hitting the bookshelves. Director, were you as prepared for the kind of blowback that you're getting, not just from the Trump people, but from the Clinton people?
Yes, I dreaded it, but I had a pretty clear picture of what was going to come.
You entered into the political realm when you made this decision because you were concerned about how the FBI would be seen publicly as a result of this, and you've got a lot of people who are now criticizing you for that. If you were to do it all over again, would you do it the same way? And what is your reaction now that you've written the book and you've had months to think about it?
I would do it the same way, and I'm a little concerned that people are forming strong opinions without reading the book, because what I'm trying to do in the book is be introspective, cross-examine myself. I did not consider polls or political standing or how it would affect a candidate at all. In fact, consciously pushed those things away. I did consider and care deeply as the leader of an organization that depends upon the public trust. I considered the public trust. The public confidence in the work of the FBI is its bedrock. But what I've asked myself in the book is it possible that given that the whole world assumed that Hillary Clinton was going to be elected president, is it possible that even unconsciously that was in my head, and what impact would it have? And the answer is, of course it's possible, because I was living in that environment. Now, to cut to the bottom line, it wouldn't have changed the result, but in a way, maybe the implicit assumption she was going to be elected made the decision easier, because I had to choose between a really bad result and a catastrophic result. And the catastrophic result would be, in some ways, the worst possible outcome would be if she were elected president and we hid from the American people that we had restarted the investigation. I think even if Donald Trump had been up 30 points in the polls, your choices are still, do I speak or do I conceal? And you still have to choose speaking, because concealing is such a terrible, terrible outcome. That's all I was trying to do in the book. And I think if people read it, I'm not trying to talk them into agreeing with me, even the passionate people who work closely with Secretary Clinton. But I think if they read the book in an open-minded way, they'll say, oh, okay, I see. He actually wasn't on anybody's team. He wasn't trying to throw this to Trump or this to Clinton. He was trying to make a decision in light of the values of his institution.
But ultimately, isn't that what has already happened, though? Because now Donald Trump is seen in some ways as illegitimate because of the investigation that was going on that had not been previously disclosed.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. Well, certainly not something the FBI can do anything about, because it was not a close call. In fact, it was never any serious discussion about revealing a very, very early counterintelligence investigation of four Americans who were not Donald Trump, trying to figure out, do they have any connection to the Russians? I mean, we would never announce such an investigation, very different from the Hillary Clinton investigation, which began publicly, where the secretary was the subject of the investigation. And so that was actually never a serious discussion. What was a serious discussion is, so what should President Obama say about the Russian effort to influence the election? That's separate from the FBI's very early stage counterintelligence work. And that was a really hard question for President Obama, which I get. I offered to be part of telling the American people about that, and they didn't take me up on that offer in August. But I understand why that was such a hard call for the president.
One of the criticisms that obviously is being leveled at you from the right is that of your family, because your wife in the ABC News piece, she went on camera with George Stephanopoulos talking about her support for Hillary Clinton. Your wife and kids had marched in the rally afterwards. How are they doing in all of this, and what is your reaction to the kind of blowback that your family is encountering?
They're doing fine, and anybody, I guess there may be lots of people on the right who aren't married and so don't realize that you and your spouse can have different jobs, different perspectives, different responsibilities, and still discharge them well. The fact that my wife wanted Hillary Clinton to be elected president had no effect on me whatsoever. They're doing fine. My wife and kids also expected that the amount of blowback that was going to come. They all, along with me, dreaded it, but thought, as I did, I got to do this, and to not do it would be cowardly. To walk away and just go get a job making a lot of money someplace would be a surrender of something, giving up on something I ought to be doing to try and contribute to public dialogue.
Do you think America was ready for the impact that social media and digital deep diving and all the kinds of things that we're now seeing here. We were as ready to defend ourselves against foreign operators as the Russians were or that other people are. And what does this say about truth going forward in America?
Our culture was not ready. In some ways, our culture, it's a bit of an interesting logic problem. The culture is a product of social media and has been shaped by social media. One of the most dangerous forces in nature is the confirmation bias. That's my brain's craving for information consistent with what I already believe, and my brain's tendency not even to see information that disagrees with me. Well, what the internet allows us to do is reinforce that confirmation bias by putting myself in a bubble where I never hear anything other than what gives me pleasure because it agrees with me. I mean, take my situation. There's a whole lot of people in the Trump bubble who think I'm on Clinton's side. There's a whole lot of people in the Clinton bubble who think that I'm on Trump's side. Both cannot possibly be true, but because they're in bubbles, they never see each other. And so that balkanization that our social media environment permits is really, really concerning.
Will America ever go back to a place where politics are not a blood sport?
Yes. And we've seen these points of tremendous polarization before throughout our national history. And then oftentimes, unfortunately, there's been some cataclysmic event that resets the politics. I hope we don't need that. In fact, I don't believe we need that, but it resets eventually. People forget what the John Adams campaign against Thomas Jefferson was like, or the things they said about Ulysses Grant. Vicious, vicious stuff that we wouldn't say today. And so we've been here before. The question is, so how do we get back? How do we reset? And I hope to just be one teeny little part of helping us try to reframe and focus on the values of this country and rise above the vicious fights about policy.
Yeah. One last very quick question. Were you as surprised as the rest of the country was that Sean Hannity was actually one of Michael Cohen's clients?
I've been so busy in New York. I've seen it on the news. I don't know enough to react to that. I really don't.
All right. James Comey, thank you so much. Good luck with the book, A Higher Loyalty. Thank you for your service to America, sir.
Oh, it's great to hear WGN. Remember it well.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.